If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be looking over in the book of Luke chapter 12, and we're going to start down in verse 35, and we're going to read 35 through 40, and the title that I have for this morning, it's a refreshing topic. It's something that is not, that you haven't heard before. It's not something that's new to you, but I've entitled it this way: Are You Ready for the Trip? Are you ready for the trip? Oh, there's an old song that is sung. Oh, when I think back to those days, that my father had that boat, and we went down there on the reservoir, the old wooden boat. I think Brother Brian or Brother Brad might have gone on a few of those trips, and we had an 8-track player in there, and there was a gospel group. It was a black gospel group, and they would sing that song. I'm going to take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until those heavens ring and I leave this world or goodbye or something like that. We're going to take a trip in that good old gospel ship. And we need to remind ourselves of this. Are you ready for the trip? Now, there are not very many people that don't like to take a trip. You plan trips. You plan things. I'm planning a trip. I'm going to be retiring June 1st of this year. I'm planning a trip. I'm not going to be around for a while. I'm excited about that trip, and I'm getting ready for that trip. And I have some things in my house that I'm purchasing for that trip. And I bought some clothing that I'm saving for that trip. I'm not going to wear that clothing before that trip. And I bought me a garment that's going to help me find my way on this trip. And I have that packed away in a box. And I'm getting all excited about this trip. And I was looking forward, and I was just online early this morning before I come in, because if you want some of these things, you got to get them while they're available. And we take a yearly trip, and we go clear down to Red Bridge, Pennsylvania. And then we take our trailer down here, and we stay for about a week. Well, I'm going to take a trip in August, and I made the reservation this morning, and some call, I guess they use the word gramping, when you go gramping, when you live easy. I got a site that has electric, it has water, it has sewage. Some people's like, you can't call that camping, but I'm starting to look forward to that, and I get excited about it. And perhaps you're planning a trip this year, or your family is planning a trip. You're going to do something special. You get excited about it. And when you hear that you're going to take a trip, you don't say, well, okay, good, wonderful. You start thinking about that trip, and you start preparing yourself for that trip before that trip gets here. Well, it's the same way for us going to the kingdom of heaven. We're going to take a trip, and there's somebody that's going to come calling our number. There's a trumpet that's going to sound one of these days. And we can use it this way. We can mean it this way. When that trumpet sounds, it means all aboard. Come on, get on. It's time to go. And so this heavenly trip, we need to be excited about it also. We need to be preparing for it. We need to be planning on taking this trip. There's preparation that goes in this trip that we're going to take to heaven. It's not enough to know that I'm going to be taking a trip in the month of June. I have to prepare for it. We just had 4 brand new tires put on the vehicle that we're going to use for this trip, because we're going to go over 7,000 miles, and I don't want to have a blowout with one of the tires. So I'm preparing for that natural journey that I'm going to take. How about that spiritual journey that we're on? Are you preparing for that trip? Are you ready for that trip? Or are you just, well, I know I'm going to take a trip one of these days. It'll be what it'll be, and I just know I'm going. And, you know, as far as that goes, I've got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't take more than having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but there is still a preparation for this heavenly journey. We have to keep it fresh in our minds. And there's something about human nature that we do not like to do, and that's called waiting. How many like to wait? You wait. You go to the doctor's office, and oh, their time is so important, but your time doesn't mean nothing. You know, you have a 9:45 appointment, you might not get in until 10:15. But boy, let you be a minute late the next time and the doctor's ready for you. The doctor can't be waiting for you, but yet we're supposed to wait for them. That rubs against our grain. We don't like that. Even when we're traveling, we got a one-stoplight town or a one-stoplight town here, and you're sitting up there at that stoplight, and you're in a hurry to get somewhere. You don't like to sit there and wait at that stoplight. If you're like me, sometimes you see it's going to be red. You might take a shortcut and try to get around that thing. Human nature doesn't like to wait. That trip that I'm going to be taking in the month of June, it seems like it's never going to get here. I'm so excited about it. I'm getting so prepared for it. I talk about it. I think about it. I dream about it because I know it's coming, and I have the date, and I know a date for certain that it's going to happen, and that's going to be June 1st. And so as time goes on, man, the countdown's going on. I have a counter going on my phone, and it tells me exactly how many days, how many hours, how many minutes, how many seconds it's going to be. And that's only something that's natural that I'm so taken up with. I'm so excited about it. And we do that with natural things. You do the same thing. You might not set a thing on your phone that lets you know, but you have certain things that you look forward to with great anticipation. And yet we know that we're going to be going on a trip called the Second Coming of Christ, the catching away of the church. Yes. Amen. He's coming for us. How many are excited about that? And the reason that it's hard for us to get excited about it is because we don't have a definitive date. We don't know that on June 1st, Jesus is coming. If we knew Jesus was coming on June 1st, this church would be filled up today. There wouldn't be empty seats in here because people would know it's going to be June 1st. We don't like to wait. And so this morning we're going to talk about this. Are you ready for the trip? Oh, I want you to succeed in life. I want you to be blessed. I want you to prosper. I want you to have a lot of earthly goods. I want you to be blessed coming in and going out. I want you to have good health. I want you to have all of those things. Amen. But something that I want you to have more than those things, although they're nice to have while we're here on this earth, I want you to be ready for this trip. Oh, if you're not wealthy, that's okay. If your health isn't great, and some this would go to contrary to some people's teaching and preaching, that's okay, because you can get to heaven with a sick body. But if you're not ready for this trip, that is going to be the saddest thing that will ever have happened in your life. Oh, if you have to declare bankruptcy, that's a sad thing. If it seems like there's a curse upon you and you're not blessed coming in and going out, that's upsetting. You wonder where God is. We get all taken up with those things, but we lose focus of this trip that is coming, and we don't know when it's coming. And the fact of the matter is, as excited as I am about this trip and planning beyond that trip for other things to do in my retirement, before any of those things even happen, Jesus could return. Amen. I could be standing in the presence of God. Amen. The trumpet could sound. And even more than that, amen, before I even take that trip, the Lord could call my number. I could go by way of the grave. And am I ready for the only trip that really matters? Amen. The only trip that really matters in your life is when you take your last breath here upon this earth and you leave this life and you go into the next. Amen. The greatest thing that ever matters, the greatest trip that ever matters, is hearing the trumpet sound. Amen. And being caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, that is so vitally important. You don't want to be left behind when the trumpet sounds. Oh, some of us, because we get spiritually lazy, we look into Scripture, we find this and that. Well, if I don't make the coming of the Lord, there's still a ray of hope for me. Listen, you read the Word of God. You study the Word of God. You know the Word of God. You don't want to be here on this earth after Jesus returns and catches the church away. You think things are bad now? This is heavenly compared to what it's going to be. It's going to be a horrible place to be. It's not something that you want to be here. Amen. All of the plagues and the trumpets and the judgments that are going to fall, that's talked about in the book of Revelation, that's not a fantasy. That's not a fairy tale. That is a reality. It is going to happen. And I don't want to be here to see those things, to have to go through times like that. And I won't have to go through times like that if I'm ready for this trip. if I keep myself prepared for this trip. And there has to be that excitement. There has to be that anticipation. There has to be that expectation that this is what we're going to do. And so let's read these scriptures in Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he will come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Lord, we pray that you will bless this word today, the sharing of the word, God. Let it be words, Lord, spoken by you that you would say to us if you were here, God. Let our hearts be ready, our lamps be burning, God, that we're ready for your coming. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There's probably more, but we're just going to look at three types of attitudes about Christ coming. Amen. Three types of attitudes about Christ coming. I already spent a little bit of time talking about eagerly waiting for his return. Eagerly waiting for his turn. And the analogy that I drew for you this morning was I'm eagerly waiting for that trip that I'm going to take on June 1st. But am I eagerly waiting for the return of the Lord? I'm eagerly waiting. The countdown's on. Oh, it didn't happen today. We lay our head on our pillow tonight. God, it didn't happen today. But maybe tomorrow's the day that you're going to come. I just can't wait. I'm just so excited. Oh, it could be soon. That song we sing soon and very soon we are going to see the King. It could be tomorrow that I'm going to be able to stand in the very presence of God. I'm going to be able to bow at his feet. I'm going to be able to cast the crowns that he gives me at his feet. And all of this that I've heard about all these years, all of a sudden it's going to be a reality for me. That's the type of one type of person that there is. They eagerly are waiting for his return. Oh God, I want you to come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm expecting you any moment, any day. And then the second type of attitude that people can have, amen, about Christ coming, is they don't want him to return now because they like what they are doing. They know that there's some things that just aren't quite right. And with my fingers crossed, I hope that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will carry me through, and somehow God's grace will cover this. And it covers a multitude of sins, and I like what I'm doing, but I know I shouldn't really, but you know, God's a God of love and mercy, and I hope, but I don't want you to come right now yet. There are people like that. There are people like that. Their lives aren't in order. Pastor Eastman preached a sermon here many, many years ago. Some people looked at him like, wow, what are you talking about? In the sermon that he preached, I believe it was titled, Set Your House in Order. Set Your House in Order. Is your house set in order for the coming of the Lord? Or is there some moving around you need to do? Are there some things yet you need to do to prepare? As I'm preparing for this trip, I better use it that way, because if I say I, that would mean I paid for them. Amen. We put 4 new tires on that car. We're preparing for that trip. We're getting ready. What are you doing to prepare for the coming of the Lord? Amen. There's people that don't want him to return now because they like what they're doing. And then there's this group. It's just a hoax. It's just a hoax. Evangelicals, there was a survey that was taken many years ago, and it's more, and it's shocking to me because I sure don't fall in that number, and I hope that you don't, that it's more than 50% of evangelicals that don't believe that Jesus is coming back again. They do not accept that doctrine. They do not believe that he's returning to earth again. So, let me ask this question of these three attitudes that I read about. Where do you fall in? Are you eagerly waiting? Man, I'm ready, I'm waiting, I'm watching. God, it could be today. I almost feel like I have wings on me. I almost feel like my feet are going to lift off the ground. That song we sing, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready, amen, for the gates of pearl, amen, The gates are open wide. Amen. I'm going to stand by Jesus' side. However that song, are you that type of person? Or are you that one? I know you're coming, but Jesus, don't come yet. Because, you know, I've got some dust in the house. I've got some things that I need to prepare, yet I'm not ready. Or are you the one that's like, Pastor, you're wasting your time this morning. You're talking about something that's just a fantasy. It's just a dream. It's a hoax. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Where do you fall today? The fact of the matter is, Christ is coming back. He is coming back. He will return. He shall return. He does not lie. And when those angels stood there, when Jesus, that Mount of Ascension, when he was taken up into heaven, they says, as you see him going, he shall so come in like manner. He's coming back again. And that promise of the Lord's coming, it's a promise and it's a warning that's in the New Testament. Many times it's talked about in the New Testament. Be prepared, be ready for the coming of the Lord. There's preaching that goes on. People get tired of hearing the preaching. Yeah, yeah, whatever. I'm ready, I'm ready. And in reality, they're not. And that is good news to some that Jesus is coming back, but it's bad news to others. They don't want to believe that he's coming. You can make yourself, convince yourself that something's not so, but it's really so. Look at the twisted society that we're living in now. You can convince yourself that if you were born a man, you can convince yourself you're not a man, but that doesn't change the fact that you are a man. You can try to convince yourself you're not a woman, but that doesn't change the fact that you are a woman. You can try to convince yourself that Jesus is not coming back. The rapture isn't going to happen. It's not mentioned in the Bible, but it's not going to change the fact that it's going to happen. Just because you convince yourself of some untruth as being truth doesn't make it a truth. You can't change the word of God. In those verses that I read, waiting is something that none of us like to do. And I already gave you examples of that. Waiting. You're going home today. It doesn't have to be today. You can use many examples. How many, and it would be mostly us men, and there's me and you, Brother Brad, Brother Eric here this morning, not a lot of men here, but how many of us men like to wait for that meal? And we think it's going to be at a certain time. And if it's not right at 5 o'clock like we thought, we don't like that. I mean, we're almost like children. We're almost going to cry. We're almost going to get a tear. We're so hungry. Getting stomach cramps. You're going to have to give me a piece of bread and a glass of water. You've got to do something to hold me over. We don't like to wait. I can prove that to you. The places that sell more food in the country that we live are the fast food places versus the places that have home cooking. Because if you go to a place that has home cooking, it takes time. There's preparation that goes into it. Oh, it tastes much better, but you have to wait. We are people that want things and we want them now. And it's within us. It's just everything's instant, instant. We want it now. We don't want to wait for anything. We just almost want to speak things into existence. We don't like a wait. There's an annoyance that comes in waiting. We get annoyed. You pull into the gas station, and if there's anybody at those pumps, I mean, tell me you can just sit there peacefully, la-di-la-di-da, you know, listen to the Christian radio, la-di-la-di-da, and then they're up there, and the gas pump clicked off, and the guy that's pumping the gas is standing there talking to the person in the car, and you're like, you know, we might lay on the horn, and if we're at a red light and it turns green and the person in front of you don't move, how long do you wait before you blow your horn? How long do you wait before you're mumbling something? We don't like to wait. We do not like to wait. Amen. Us men, we don't like waiting on our wives. We're going somewhere, and if we happen to be the one first in the car, and it was a certain time, and they're not there, and we're sitting there, and we're sitting there, and we're getting a little bit more upset, and a little bit more upset, or it could be vice versa. The wife could be sitting in the car waiting for the husband. We don't like to wait. Amen. Waiting causes upset with us. It causes upset. Plans change. Amen. When your plans change, sometimes we have to wait because the weather did something that we didn't expect, that we had to cancel an appointment. We don't like that. We don't like to do those kinds of things. It's upsetting. We are not inclined to wait. You can't tell me. There's nobody in here that's inclined to wait. You're such a patient person that you just go and I'll just wait. And it is what it is. And whenever it's ready, it's ready. And We'll get there when we get there. There's a few people like that, but not very many. Amen. And as I already said, we prefer fast food over home-cooked food because fast food is ready right now. It's ready right now. Amen. Why do we use credit cards? I can prove to you you don't like to wait if you have credit cards. Amen. This ain't the only reason, but some people use a credit card because they don't have to wait until they have the money. They can just take the plastic down there and slide it and walk out with the new washing machine or the new dryer instead of figuring out where can I get the cold cash to go pay for that thing. We don't like to wait. And we have to be careful, amen, that we don't get caught up in this. When he is coming and miss his coming, we don't like to wait. We get caught up in that. No waiting. Everything's instant gratification. Everything's right now. And if we take that look about the coming of the Lord, we could miss his coming because, Lord, I know you're coming, but I'm getting tired of waiting. Would you get it over with? Please come. Oh, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. How can we be ready for Christ's return? Verses 35 and 36 tell us that. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And your lights burning. 34 or 35 and 36. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Amen. So there's three things here that we can do as we're waiting for the coming of the Lord in verse 35. And that preparation is we have our loins are girded about. Amen. We are dressed and we are ready. I have the wedding garment on. And there's other stories that have been told in the Bible and teachings that have been given. There can't be spot, wrinkle, or blemish in that wedding garment. And you know how there cannot be spot, wrinkle, or blemish in our wedding garment? Only if we put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If I try to do it in my own righteousness, there's going to be spots, there's going to be wrinkles, there's going to be blemishes. We got to learn to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to be dressed and we have to be ready. And there's some maintenance that goes into this too, being ready for Christ's return. In verse 35, and let your lights be burning. You have to keep your lamps burning. You have to keep the fire going down in your soul. You have to keep the excitement of the expectation of the Lord's coming alive down in your soul. Amen. You have to keep your own lamps burning. I can't keep your lamp burning. I can look at you, and it's funny how that if my lamp's flittering a little bit and starting to flicker a little bit, and you come and say something to me, that I'll have a tendency to get upset with you. And my tendency is going to be, who do you think you are? You think I'm not ready for the coming of the Lord? Well, let me tell you something about you. See, we forget this whole thing of keeping each other sharp. Iron sharpeneth iron. But you have to keep that oil in your own lamp. I can't take my oil. I can't take the excitement that I have and put it in you. You have to get it within yourself. And then the third thing that there is in verse 36, there is an expectation. We have to be like men waiting for their master to return. This is how we can be ready for the coming of the Lord. Dressed and ready. Have our lamps burning. And we're like men waiting for their master. We're waiting for the master to return. We don't know when he's coming. We've done a lot of work on the building. I'm working on the building. And that has a spiritual significance to it. Amen. I'm working on myself. I'm doing what God needs me to do. Amen. With his help and his grace, I'm working on the building. Amen. I'm getting ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm keeping my lamp burning. And I'm waiting for the master to return. And so the first thing, the preparation of the waiter. What's the waiter? It's a readiness for action. One is to be ready. They are to have their loins girded. It's a readiness for action. I'm ready to go into action. I am ready and I am prepared. You'll probably get tired of hearing me saying it. I'm getting ready for this trip. I'm going to take June 1st. I'm readiness for action. I got the tires on the car. There's other work that's going to be done on that car. I got other items. I'm getting ready for action. I'm getting ready for this trip. We have to get ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. So today what we would say, talking about preparation, are your sleeves rolled up and you're ready to go? I'm ready to go. Amen. That song I like, I'm packed up, getting ready to go. Oh, I'm packed up, getting ready to go. I'm packed up, I'm getting ready to go. getting ready to go. That's the words of some song that's written about this. Amen. So the preparation, they're ready for action. I'm ready for the coming of the Lord. My ear's listening. I'm waiting for the sound of the trumpet. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming. In that good waiter, he keeps his lamp burning. Amen. He keeps his lamp burning. In the day that they were living back then, they didn't have street lights like we have now. They didn't have lights on their homes like we have now. So they had to keep their own lamps burning. So when the master come, he could find where they were living. He could find the place when they were living. The lamps were to be, and if they were going to keep their lamps burning, if you have oil lamps, we have one over here. We don't use them much. We use a lot of those in the Dominican Republic. And you just can't use them and use them all the time. There comes a time if we're going to keep that lamp burning, it requires work. Because the oil is going to go down in this lamp, so I'm going to have to put more oil in it. And that wick that's sticking up there, pretty soon it's just going to be spewing black smoke. The globe's going to be all black and ugly. There's going to be black smoke coming out of the top. So I have to keep that wick in there. I have to keep it trimmed so that it burns nice and it burns an even flame. Amen. And I have to make sure that the wind doesn't blow that lamp out. So that's why we keep the globe on there. Amen. And for the coming of the Lord, we have to keep our lamps trimmed and burning. Because we can be taken up with things in this world, and all of a sudden we're spewing out a little bit of black smoke. There's a little bit of the flesh coming out of us. A little bit of the works of the flesh start to take over us. And we have to sharpen up ourselves once in a while. Does not the Word of God say, let us lay aside every weight and every sin and everything that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's talking about keeping your lamps trimmed and burning. I'm not talking about your own righteousness because I do this, this, and this. I'm good for heaven. I'm talking about the works of the flesh can easily creep in as we're waiting because the flesh speaks very loud to us. The flesh drives us. The flesh pushes us. But the Spirit of God is that still small voice within us that he leads. And it says it this way. Jesus said it this way. He will lead and he will guide you into all truth. We have to listen for that still small voice of God. It takes work. And the good waiter, amen, is a devoted servant, and he's awaiting his master's return. And the master shouldn't have to knock and wait while the servant gets up and comes to the door. Amen. That servant gets up to go to the door, and he's falling over things that are in the way because he didn't think the master was going to come at this hour. Amen. That good waiter, he kept his lamp burning. Amen. And that good waiter, he devoted himself. Amen. And when the master knocks on the door, he gets up and he opens that door onto him. The servant, and we are the servants of God. We are to be always ready for his coming. Mm-hmm. Do you have to sometimes say, God, excuse me, you're going to have to look away for a minute because I got to get this off of my chest. And boom, we just, let the old flesh come out of us. No. That's not being ready for the coming of the Lord. He is always ready. Amen. The coming of the Master is the most important priority that they had back in that day. The coming of the Master, that I am prepared when the Master returns from the wedding feast, that I am prepared for him. That was the highest, most important priority that he had. Amen. And their own weakness wasn't to rule them. Well, I'm tired of waiting. I was ready last week, but now the place is getting a little sloppy again. I sure hope the master don't come tonight because I'm not really ready for him. They didn't let the weariness rule them. We can't let the weariness rule us as we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you faint not. Amen. There's many people that are falling out on the Lord. They're tired of waiting. And then the lie comes to them. Well, maybe it's just a hoax. Maybe it's not really going to happen. And you hear this one say it and that one, then you're falling in the category of evangelicals. Amen. Soon that don't believe in the coming of the Lord, but Jesus is coming. Amen. The servants, amen, are requested by the master to attend the banquet. They are his servants, and he's going to take them to the banquet. It was delightful, and it was a joyful time for them. The eager servant was ready to open the door at once. Amen. Back in the time of Jesus, going back to their day, he was eagerly waiting. He was ready. He was standing right at that door. And as soon as he heard that knock, he opened that door. Yes, master, I am ready to go. In verses 37 and 38, what they are doing is waiting for Christ. And this is where we are today. And I trust that you're there. You're waiting for the return of Christ. Oh, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. We hear all these songs. Yeah, 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 whatever. But are we really waiting for the return of Christ? Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And watching in the Greek means, and that's in verse 7, or verse 37, the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. That means to stay awake. Stay awake. Poke yourself a little bit. Sometimes we gotta poke ourselves spiritually. And some like to say that the psalmist David meant this. I don't know if it's correct or not. He was talking to his own soul. And he said, come on, soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. There's always a reason for doom and gloom and the gloomy side of life, because it's in every one of our lives. But we need to wake up and say, I'm going to bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. I'm going to look at the good side of things. I'm going to look at the mercy and the grace of God. I'm going to look at what God has done for me. So it means to stay awake, be watchful. It's a constant readiness. You are on the alert. And that watching means to wake up or rouse up someone. Did you ever try to wake somebody up and you had a difficult time waking them up? It's annoying. Get up, get up. They're sort of grumpy and growly with you. We're the same way spiritually speaking. Someone tries to rouse you spiritually. Look, leave me alone. Don't tell me. You think you're all that, and you're telling me that I need to wake up? How about you wake up yourself? People get grumpy when you try to wake them up. Spiritually speaking, when somebody tries to arouse us spiritually, we get spiritually grumpy. Spiritually grumpy. Who do they think they are? I'm awake. I'm ready for the coming of the Lord. It's a terrible thing. We need to wake up, or to rouse. It means to watch. And so if we wait expecting for Christ's return, we are going to be blessed. And how are we going to be blessed? On that great day when he comes and we go there to be with him, we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the blessing that we're going to receive, the one that we are serving now, he is going to serve us. He's going to serve us that marriage supper of the Lamb. That's how we're going to be blessed. That's the blessing that this is talking about. Amen. He's going to serve us. Serving is what he'll do to us. Yet he is the master, but he is going to serve us. He did that in the Bible days. He's the master. He went around washing your feet. I think it was Peter. He came to him. He goes, you're not washing my feet. You know, I'm your servant. You're the master. The master don't wash a servant's feet. And then Jesus had some words with him. Man, Peter had a quick conversion. He says, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my face also. Wash me clean. Wash me all. Amen. Make me clean within. But Jesus, amen, Jesus is going to be that master that's going to serve us. Amen. That's going to serve us. And in verse 38, he goes on to say, even in the second and the third watch, those people will be blessed. Meaning, the second and third watch, this is a meaning that it could have, his coming just might be later than what we think. Don't draw timelines. We get very religious. We get very spiritual. We get very, I don't even know what word to put in there, opinionated. We look into Revelations, tie other scriptures together, and there's people that have very strong opinions. They could almost, in their opinion, tell you when the Lord's coming. Don't be that way. Amen. Because those that are still watching, the second, I thought the Lord would have come by now, but he didn't. Listen, I'm old enough. Some of you, there's a lot of you in here that's way younger than this. I'm old enough to remember when 1970 turned on the calendar. And there was a little churning inside, like, oh, man, we're already in the 1970th year since the time of Christ, according to the calendar that we had. Man, I didn't think we would be here by now. Jesus, maybe he's going to come in this year. Then I remember 73 came, And there was a saying that was going around, religious groups come out with, and I forget what it was, but it was called Key 73. I don't think Brad was around in the church yet or not, but I remember Key 73. This is going to be the year he's coming. He didn't come. And here we are, almost 50 years after, he still hasn't come. So I can be like, I'm going to quit watching because I'm going to jump over to that side. I don't think he's coming. The Bible said, Jesus said, blessed are those that are watching in the second and the third watching, because Jesus may come later than you think or wish. Because we know this. We know this much. We're not completely ignorant. We know that it's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus left us. His return seems delayed. I don't know how our calendar is with the Jewish calendar. We're in 2023. In our calendar, where is the Jewish calendar falling? We can look at translations. We can look at scriptures and interpret them and think, huh, he should have come by now. He should have come by now. His return seems delayed. Amen. And his return seems delayed. And this is where these people can fall. And I give this example. We're going to be done here shortly. Have you ever tried to drive at night when you're deadly tired and you got the heat going in the car? How does that work for you? I'm going to do this. Yeah. And the older you are, you get some coffee, and it's like, okay, I'm good to go now. You roll down the window, you turn the heater off, you turn the air conditioner on. I've been there and done that. Turn the air conditioner on in the wintertime. It's just like, man, you stop the car, you get out, you run around it a couple times, you do some jumping jacks, you stretch, you get back in that car, you go 5 miles down the road, and you're like, that's where some people are. And they're waiting for the coming of the Lord. They're like a person that's trying to drive a car that's extremely tired. It's extremely hard to stay awake in the nighttime when you're dead tired trying to drive down the road. And I hope you can understand that example that I'm giving. Are you that way spiritually? You just find it so hard to stay awake. Man, I slap myself every once in a while. I go to the revival meeting. I go to the prayer meeting. I get touched on a Sunday morning. I get touched on a Sunday night. I feel God stirring in my heart and in my soul. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I just have a revival at the church. Why would they do that? Oh, and you're on a Saturday night? I don't think so, Pastor. It's just like, I'm having a hard time. I just can't do it. Be careful that you don't fall into that. And then the last part of this was, the third part of it is in verse 39 and 40. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it talks to us. Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night. And I've heard that statement and heard that statement. You know who he's coming as a thief into the night? Those that aren't ready. Those that aren't ready. If you're ready for the coming of the Lord, he's not coming like a thief in the night, because you're prepared for his coming. Amen. And so the situation changes to those who don't expect his return. They're not expecting his return. To them, Christ comes as a thief. He comes as one that isn't welcome. They're not ready to welcome him. They're not ready. They're the ones that were doing those things that were like, probably shouldn't, but maybe, I'm not sure. Lord, just don't come right now. Let me get my house in order. To those, he's going to come like a thief in the night. They're not quite ready. Amen. And what the arrival of the master will mean to them, it means trouble. It means disaster. Here comes the man that owns the house, because God owns us all. We're all God's creation. God owns us. And in the previous verses, Christ owned the house. They were the believers. Jesus lived in them. He owned the house. He came. They were ready for him. And yet he owns this house. But this house hasn't surrendered completely to God. Amen. And so in that first house, the master is welcome. And in the second one, he comes as a thief. He's not welcome. Lord, I don't want you to come yet. I got to go. Oh, let us go back into the city. Let us get oil for our lamps. Let us do a little more preparing. What's the difference? Amen. Is he the welcome master in your life? Or is he? Do you look at Jesus as a dreaded thief? The coming of the Lord scares you. It's like, oh, I want him, but oh. You need to get that and oh out of there. You need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Yes. The one that doesn't belong to Christ, they don't welcome him. Those are the people that hoping the Lord never comes. They're the ones that are saying it's just a dream. It's just the craziness that you believe that way. Those who trust in Jesus as the promised Messiah, they love him. They await his return. And those who reject God don't want to see him. The last person they want to see is Jesus. The last person they want knocking on their door is Jesus. Amen. So it's certain the Lord is going to return. That is very certain. Amen. He's going to reward some and he's going to judge others. Which side are you going to fall on? When the Lord comes, is he going to reward you? Is he going to judge you? If you're on the right side, he's going to reward you. And here's the thing about it. We don't know the day or hour. And that's in the last verse that we read, verse 40. We don't know the day or the hour. And so what's this delay? It's a test of our faithfulness. Remain faithful. He that remains faithful unto the end shall be saved. You got to hold. I'm going to hold. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Maybe in a little bit we'll sing that song. I'm going to hold to the one who understands. I'm going to hold on to him even when it looks like I'm not getting what I need. I'm going to hold to the promises of God. Amen. And why are there people not ready who were once ready? And this part's in closing. It's because of the flesh, because of sin, because the more we please the flesh, we dull our awareness of his coming. You dull the awareness of his coming the more you please the flesh. The flesh don't want to go to the church. The flesh don't want to read the Bible. I was traveling with, I'll say who it is, I was traveling with Brother Eric yesterday. All of a sudden, I heard church bells. It's like, wow, that sounds nice, church bells. I go, what's that deal? Whose phone is that? It's not my phone. My wife was there, so it's not my phone. Brother Eric said, well, that's my phone. I have an app on my phone, and when I hear those church bells, that's a time it's supposed to be a reminder to me about reading and about reading my Bible and praying. I think I need that app. Ding, ding, ding. I don't know how many times you can quiet it throughout the day, okay? But we have to be ready. If we're not ready, then we become dull. Our awareness of his coming. We fool ourselves. You need to get into the Word of God. We know something is wrong and not pleasing to God, but we do it anyway. I know this isn't what you want, God, but turn away. I'm going to go ahead and indulge in this. That's the kind of person we end up being. We know that God will forgive us. We know that God will forgive us, and He will. But those things that when we allow the flesh to take over, what they do is they prevent us from walking close to Him. They prevent us from being alert to His voice. If we fumble and fail, God forgives us, but he wants us to get over those fumblings and failings. He wants us to live a victorious life. And so when we choose the wrong, when we choose sin over Jesus, why do we do that? Because we need apps on our phones, maybe, to remind us it's time to pray. It's time to read your Bible. Because we fail to pray. We fail to read our Bible. And we're not spiritually awake. We get too busy, and it happens to all of us. I'm talking to myself. And I'm closing with this. We get too busy and our guard goes down. Our spiritual guard goes down. Then all of a sudden, we're starting to battle more of the desires and the works and the things of the flesh. And it's like, oh, why the battle? What's going on? I had such victory. Now I'm just feeling so rough here. We become spiritually sleepy. And so what are we to do? Verse 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that ye think not. What are we to do? Be ready. Amen. Sister Bonnie, you can come down to the music here this morning. Let's stand to our feet. What are we to do? Be ready. This was no mind-boggling, altering sermon that I gave you here this morning, but it's what God laid on my heart. Be ready. Are you like that sleepy driver at nighttime and you're just, spiritually you're that way. It's like, oh, that wasn't good. I better get back online again. Why don't we sing that song, God Can Do It Again and Again and Again. God needs to wake us up. But here's the fact of the matter. You have to wake yourself up. You have to trim your own lamp. You have to put oil in your own lamp. You got to keep your own fire burning. I can encourage you to keep it burning. I can see it flickering. I can see some of the works of the flesh coming off. I can see the black smoke coming out, and I can be alarmed by it. But if you choose not to do anything, I can't make you, neither will God. He will just let you go. But we have to wake ourselves. God can do it again and again. God, wake us up today that we be ready for the coming of the Lord. As we sing this morning, amen, make that the prayer of your heart. God, that I be ready for your coming, that I always am in that state of readiness. Amen. Oh, hallelujah.